Good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah, and I'll be the conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome you all to the Algoma Central Corporation second quarter results conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Thank you. I'd now like to turn the call over to our host, Mr. Peter Winkley, VP of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. You may begin your conference.
Thank you, Sarah. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Algoma Central Corporation second quarter fiscal 2012 investor conference call. As Sarah said, my name is Peter Winkley. I'm the Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer of Algoma. Joining me today on the call is Greg White, our President and Chief Executive Officer. Hopefully by now you will have seen our second quarter news release, which was sent out on Friday morning, and our SEDAR filings for the second quarter were also posted on Friday. We're broadcasting this event live courtesy of CNW, and you will find a link to the webcast in the latest news section of the landing page for our website. You'll also find a PowerPoint slide deck in the financial presentations page of the investor relations section of the website. This morning I will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter, following which I will turn the call over to Greg for his perspective on the quarter and the outlook for the business. We will then open it up for questions. Before we begin, I should remind you that our comments today may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. Some of these risks are disclosed in the management's discussion and analysis portion of the company's annual report and in the company's annual information form, both of which are filed with the relevant securities regulators. Also, unless otherwise noted, all amounts are in Canadian dollars. I'm going to take you through our financials for the quarter and touch on the operational highlights. We are pleased by the results we achieved in the second quarter, and particularly those of our domestic dry bulk business, where we have seen a continuation of the trends that began last year following the closing of the ULG transaction. We are reporting consolidated revenues for the quarter of $165.6 million compared to reported consolidated revenues of $156.2 million last year for a reported increase of 6%. Net earnings for the quarter ended June 30th amounted to $20.5 million or $5.27 in basic earnings per share. In 2011, we reported $17.5 million and $4.50 in basic earnings per share. I'll remind you, though, that under IFRS, our reported revenues for Q2 of 2011 included only the 59% of revenues from our domestic dry bulk business attributable to our partnership interest prior to the closing of the ULG transaction on April 14th. This is the last time that that accounting difference will impact our quarter-to-quarter comparability. Turning to slide 4 in the slide deck, revenue from last year's quarter would have been $8.5 million higher if 100% of the revenues of the dry bulk business were included. Looking at the business taken as a whole, revenues for the quarter grew 6.6% compared to last year on an apples-to-apples basis. As I will discuss further when I go through the segment results in a minute, the timing of regulatory dry dockings had a negative impact on consolidated revenues for the 2012 second quarter. On a year-to-date basis, reported revenues were $231.8 million compared to $213.4 million last year for a reported increase of 8.6%. Adjusted to include 100% of the revenues of the dry bulk business, 2011 revenues for the 6 months increased by $13.3 million, and the year-over-year increase in consolidated revenues was therefore 2.2%, again on an apples-to-apples basis. Now, those of you who have followed Algoma over the years, we traditionally report a loss in the first quarter of each year related to the closure of the canal system and the annual maintenance program that we conduct at that time in our domestic dry bulk fleet. Our earnings for the year to date are significantly impacted by the loss for the first quarter, which for 2012 was $31.1 million or $8 per share. This compares to $17 million and $4.37 per share reported for the first quarter last year. But again, the 2011 loss reflects only our 59% interest in the domestic dry bulk business. The following comments should help you understand the results for the second quarter and the year to date in 2012, and slide 5 in the deck outlines these comments for those of you following along. To understand the results for 2012, it is best to compare them to a pro forma view of 2011. In this view of 2011, I have given effect to the ULG transaction on January 1st last year. This pro forma view of both quarters and the year to date for 2011 includes a few adjustments. The first adjustment is to increase the loss for the period by the share of the operating loss attributable to the 41% of the Seaway Marine Transport business owned by our then partner for the period January 1st to April 14th. For the second quarter, this amounted to just $0.3 million, but for a year to date, the adjustment totaled $17.1 million. The effect of this adjustment is to include 100% of the operating loss for the 2011 winter layup period in the 2011 results, as has been the case for 2012. In addition, had the transaction actually closed on January 1st last year, Algoma would have earned the charter payments during the year that were previously earned by our partner on their vessels. Algoma now owns these vessels and therefore keeps 100% of the charter payments previously paid to our former partner. Of course, we also record depreciation expense on the purchase price of those vessels. Combined, these vessel-related adjustments amount to just $143,000 for the 14 days prior to the acquisition in the second quarter last year, and $1 million for the period in 2011 leading up to the acquisition. Finally, our 2011 results included certain acquisition expenses and accounting adjustments related to the transaction. The expenses, comprising legal fees and costs associated with the restructuring that was done immediately after the closing, totaled $1.9 million for the year to date in 2011, of which $1.4 million were incurred in the second quarter related principally to the restructuring. The accounting adjustments, which were required under IFRS, include the revaluation of certain assets and liabilities on our own balance sheet that related to our interest in this business. These items produced a net gain of $0.9 million that should be deducted from the pro forma 2011 earnings. So in summary, had the ULG transaction occurred on January 1st last year and the acquisition-related costs occurred prior to closing, the net earnings for the second quarter of 2011 would have been $17.8 million, or $4.59 per share, basic per share. This compares to the $20.5 million and $5.27 per share we reported this year, or increases of 15.1% and 14.9% respectively. For the year to date, the net earnings reported for 2011 of $483,000 would have been a loss of $14.6 million. Our 2012 year-to-date loss of $10.6 million reflects an improvement of $27.2 million over the prior year on this pro forma basis. I will now turn to the results from the business units. Reported domestic dry bulk revenues of $118 million are up compared to $106.5 million for 2011, an increase of 10.8%. On a year-to-date basis, revenues totaled $140.4 million this year compared to $122.4 million for 2011, for an increase of 14.7%. After adjusting the 2011 revenues for the impact of the acquisition discussed previously, we're reporting a 2.7% increase in revenues for the full business for the quarter and 3.4% year-over-year. This revenue increase is due to an improved mix of business this year, which included more operating days for self-unloaders during the quarter this year compared to last. This reflects primarily the added capacity provided by the Algoma Mariner, which arrived in Canada in the third quarter last year. I should note, too, that we are pleased to see a continuation of the strength in the export ore business that started last year. Reported segment operating earnings after tax were $20.5 million for the second quarter in 2012 compared to $10.6 million reported for 2011. Again, to understand the results, it is best to look at 2011 on a pro forma basis. Applying the adjustments discussed previously to the results for the dry bulk segment, earnings for the second quarter of 2011 would have been $10.9 million on a pro forma basis compared to $20.5 million reported this year, and the year-to-date loss for the segment would have been $27.6 million compared to the $13.7 million reported for 2012. The improved revenues mentioned previously, along with lower layup expense and reduced general and administrative spending, are the major factors that led to the reduced loss to the business. Revenues from product tankers increased from $22.7 million to $24.2 million as a result of additional operating days. For the year to date, product tanker revenues are up 4.3% at $41.3 million compared to $39.6 million in 2011. Segment earnings after tax for the quarter were $3.3 million compared to $3.6 million in 2001 due to the cost of regulatory dry dockings and legal fees incurred related to the ongoing arbitration process in connection with our three rescinded tanker construction contracts. This arbitration process is continuing along an expected path towards an arbitration hearing scheduled for next month. On a year-to-date basis, product tanker segment earnings were $3.8 million compared to $5 million last year due to those same factors, the cost of dry docking and the legal fees. Revenues from ocean shipping decreased to $16.1 million from $19.9 million in 2011. Revenues in our ocean shipping business reflect our proportionate share of revenues from the international dry bulk pool in which our vessels participate. The decrease in revenue from the pool this quarter was due primarily to a reduction in operating days associated with regulatory dry dockings. In addition, we benefited in 2011 from some non-recurring revenues in the pool that did not continue into the current year quarter. Revenues for the year to date from ocean shipping were $35.3 million compared to $37 million last year. After-tax earnings for the ocean shipping segment were $2 million compared to $4.1 million. In addition to the impact of the lower revenues, after-tax earnings were also reduced by the dry docking costs associated with one of our vessels. For the year-to-date, ocean shipping earnings were $6.5 million compared to $7 million last year. Revenues from our real estate segment, Algoma Central Properties, increased to $7.3 million from $7.1 million in 2011. Higher occupancy, particularly in our Sault Ste. Marie Mall, drove this higher revenue. For the year-to-date, real estate segment revenues were $14.8 million compared to $14.4 million, also due to higher occupancy levels. Real estate segment after-tax earnings for the quarter were $709,000 compared to $758,000 last year, and for the year-to-date, these figures were $1,572,000 and $1,617,000. The year-over-year decrease is a result of slightly higher general operating costs in the segment. Financial expense for the quarter, which includes net interest expense as well as foreign currency gains and losses, was $1 million compared to $4.9 million in 2011. The majority of this difference pertains to mark-to-market adjustments for certain forward foreign exchange contracts we obtained to set a cap on the U.S. dollar exchange we will pay on our Equinox construction contracts. These hedge contracts do not qualify as hedges, and this has resulted in some volatility in our reported earnings. We have also reported a loss on translation of foreign currency denominated assets and liabilities of $3.2 million compared to a gain of $0.4 million in 2011. This loss is net of gains on translating cash balance and relates mainly to translating U.S. dollar denominated long-term debt at period end exchange rates. One other item that I should mention is the tax adjustment we recorded in the quarter to adjust the value of our deferred tax liabilities to reflect the indefinite deferral by Ontario of its planned tax rate reductions. This adjustment resulted in a $2.3 million increase in our tax expense for the quarter. Basic EPS for the second quarter were $5.27 a share, an increase of 17% over basic EPS of $4.50 reported last year. The pro forma adjustments to 2011 earnings discussed earlier would result in an upward adjustment to the 2011 reported second quarter EPS due to the impact of the restructuring costs. Compared to pro forma EPS of $4.70, earnings increased 12.2% for the quarter. Similarly adjusted, the EPS for the year to date improved 25%. Another item affecting the comparability of the 2012 and 2011 for the results for the year to date is an asset valuation provision that reversed in the 2011 first quarter. The reversal pertains to a 2010 provision against the value of a tanker then under construction. Algoma negotiated a cancellation of this contract that included the right to apply the full value of the installments paid to that point against one of our Equinox contracts. The reversal reestablished these installments on our balance sheet at their face value. and the gain resulting from this reversal in Q1 of $5.1 million amounts to $1.27 per share in 2011. Cash flow from operations for the quarter was $22.2 million compared to a $6.0 million use of cash in operations in 2011. The substantially improved operating results, combined with a lower investment in accounts receivable than at the same time last year, resulted in higher cash from operations this year compared to last. We invested $18.3 million in property, plant, and equipment in the quarter, bringing the total such investment to $33.4 million for the year to date. The majority of this investment is in progress payments on our Equinox class vessels. Algoma continues to have a strong balance sheet. At the end of the quarter, we had cash of $116 million, which comprised the majority of our net working capital of $151 million. We have also additional borrowing capacity of $149 million on our credit facilities. Between cash on hand and this borrowing capacity, we have more than enough capital to meet our capital expenditure obligations and normal operating needs. Our shareholders' equity at the end of June was $450 million, which equals $115.56 per share. This covers the operating and financial highlights of the quarter. I will now turn it over to Greg White, our CEO, who will provide his perspective on the quarter and on the year ahead.
Thank you, Peter. As Peter has indicated, the comparability of our financial results continues to be a challenge. But importantly, the pro forma comparison of our domestic dry bulk results, both for the quarter and the 6 months to date, demonstrate that last year's acquisition of the Upper Lakes fleet and partnership interest has been very accretive to our results. We are pleased with the positive impact this acquisition has had on our financial results, but more importantly, we are very pleased with the impact the transaction has had on our ability to manage this business in a proactive and forward-looking manner. Our significant domestic dry bulk fleet renewal program is evidence of this. Our Equinox class building program is well underway, with the keel laying of the first two gearless bulk carriers, the Algoma Equinox and the Algoma Harvester, taking place on April 21, 2012. I had the opportunity to visit the shipyard last month and was very impressed with the quality of the block construction. I have included three photographs of the Algoma Equinox under construction in our slide deck. The first photograph, slide number 13, shows the Algoma Equinox on the slipway with all double bottom blocks and screen bulkheads in place. The second photograph, slide 14, shows a coated side block that is ready to be moved to the slipway for attachment to the double bottom blocks. This photo highlights the high build epoxy coatings on the bottom that will reduce hull friction through the water. The third photograph, slide number 15, shows a number of other side blocks being outfitted prior to going to the painting shed and then to the slipway for attachment. The first two vessels are expected to be delivered in China in the first quarter of 2013 and will commence Canadian service in the second quarter of 2013. The remaining six Equinox vessels, two gearless bulkers, and four self-unloaders will follow through the balance of 2013 and into 2014. As a general statement, we are very pleased with the 6 months results from all business segments, and we expect near full capacity utilization for the balance of the year. This is, of course, barring any unexpected events that could be disruptive to the North American economy. I am also pleased to note that the Board of Directors has increased our quarterly dividend from 50 cents to 60 cents, effective with the September 4th dividend payment. I will now turn it over to the conference operator for the question and answer session. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from John Kohler, Oppenheimer & Co. Your line is now open.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, John.
Morning. I guess based on the last statement that the dry dock schedule for the second half is pretty minimal, and that I guess when you said full capacity utilization in half two, that that's probably the case?
Yeah, our domestic fleet is out fully. I mean, we don't really do much in the way of dry docking on the domestic fleet during the 9 months that the canal system is open. As you can imagine, we want to maximize our capacity during those
right.
months. The ocean shipping business is more impacted by the sort of the calendarization of the dry docking requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have ships that are out at various times of the year on the ocean shipping fleet.
Okay.
John, this is Greg. We have one dry docking scheduled for the second half on our ocean fleet. So that when we say full utilization, it's after reflecting the impact of the dry docking.
Okay, great. And then in the domestic dry bulk, looks like there was some big improvements in managing costs. I'm wondering if that is more a function of the benefits of the ULG transaction, or if you've taken other efforts beyond that, and that's what we're seeing there.
No, that would be primarily related to the ULG transaction and bringing together what had been two separate sort of management and administrative functions into one group.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
I'd like to follow up on that. I think that's on the G&A side. On our operating cost side, we've spent a lot of time with the combined group to put in place further cost improvement initiatives.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks again.
Thanks, John.
Again, to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Blake Pelham of Raymond James. Your line is now open.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Blake.
How are you?
Good, and you?
Good, thanks.
You got up bright and early for this.
Yeah, I was going to say you could schedule these a little bit later next time. No, it's all good. A few questions here. You can stop me whenever I go on too far if there's more questions in the queue, et cetera. Okay, so on the domestic dry bulk business, is it fair to say that I could, okay, in the comparative numbers for the quarter, that would only include 14 days that are basically non-comparative, right?
From an operating standpoint, although remember those 14 days are right at the beginning of the season, so they're not necessarily kind of full days the way a day
right.
in May or June would have been.
So the impact is not that big then. So I guess my question is can I look forward and say in Q3 and Q4 that I see the same type of improvement on the segment operating earnings after tax that I saw in Q2?
I wouldn't want to guide you towards a specific number, but certainly the impact of the transaction in the third or fourth quarters last year was essentially zero.
Right. So you made additional improvements over those numbers in the second quarter that you just reported. Is that fair to say?
Maybe ask the question a different way. I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
maybe I'm not. Okay, so I see an improvement from 10.6 to 20.4, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I look at Q3, will I see the same type of improvement in segment operating earnings after tax?
We had very strong earnings in the third and fourth quarter last year.
Right.
I think we would be pleased if we could replicate those earnings.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so on the fleet going forward, and I've kind of asked this question before maybe, but do you see, okay, when you're looking at your ships that you're going to be scrapping, do you see that changing as you look forward and if demand is different than it is today? Or is it pretty much cast in stone that you're going to scrap certain vessels?
I think it's both. We certainly have some vessels in our fleet that we know for sure when the new ones come in, they will be leaving
okay.
the fleet and sold for scrap. We have other ones that we would make that decision at the time, looking at the market and our expectation of the future market.
On the new Equinox ships that are being built on the bulkers, are they set up that they could be converted to self-unloaders down the road?
Yes, there's some detail in the hull construction that would facilitate a conversion without giving up a lot of carrying capacity as a bulker.
Okay. When do we expect that we could see the arbitration process conclude?
Well, it's starting in early September.
Okay.
And the process will be concluded 2 or 3 weeks after it starts.
Okay.
The results will be up to the arbitrators when they advise us.
Okay. Water levels, are they causing you any problem so far this year? Any comments?
I mean, any time the water levels are going down or we anticipate them going down causes us, reduces our ability to carry full load. So it definitely is an issue for us and our customers.
So what, like, would the difference be material on your operating results, let's say, for Q3 and Q4 to the tune of 5% or some kind of percentage number, roughly?
It's not that material on our results, mainly because in a lot of our situations, we have the ability to pass that the water level issue to our customer. That's why I say it's difficult on both ourselves and our customer.
Okay. The outlook for the grain harvest in the Midwest, is that any concern, or does it change the mix of the business, or how does that affect you?
Well, the majority of the grain that we move is Canadian grain coming from the prairies in Canada, and that crop is quite good.
Okay.
Expectations are that there'll be a good Canadian grain movement. We don't anticipate moving any U.S. corn, that's for sure, and we do have some U.S. customers, so they'll be scrambling to find other grains to move.
So could you see an increase in grain moving north-south is I guess, my question.
I can't answer that.
Know that. Nope. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Great.
So congratulations on a good quarter, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions queued up at this time. I turn the call back over to presenters for closing remarks.
Thank you for joining us today, and if there's any other questions, please give Peter or myself a call. Good day.
Thank you.
That's today's conference call. You may now disconnect.